Blog Talk Radio.
Thing worked out for you guys. So I just hope that everyone is A-okay, safe from the storm, because it is, unfortunately, one life is too much. And again, my condolences go out to those who's under the sound of my voice right now that had family or friends that had tragically lost their lives through the storm. So I just let you know that for my household, all my prayers go out to you and your family, and hope that everyone can put everything back together slowly but surely. And let's praise God that those who did survive are able to be above ground this morning. Thank you for tuning into Locker Talk Podcast, where you can hear me right now on the Ambassador Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And please send me a message anytime during the course of the show or anytime during the week if it's something you want me to talk about in regards to the NFL. You can shoot me a message directly to my email at barrybarnes@locker_report. Locker-report. Twitter, locker_report. Facebook, lockreport.com. And on Instagram, all low caps, lockreport100. Again, I am the founder and CEO of locker-report.com. You'll check out all the great content that's on the site relative to what I talk about on the show. Now, with all that good stuff, you know, that we talked about, and again, thanks a lot for tuning in. This week, what we're going to talk about on the show was what happened in week two of last week in the NFL in regards to the players that ventured through the regional combine platform. It was a great week last week. In week one, it was more of a defensive presence from the platform, from the RC. Last week, it was definitely from the offense side, and I'll go through detail of the players that really did a great job last week. There were some players I had mentioned that if you're in the fantasy, if you didn't put your team together, last week I mentioned a couple of names that I hope your guys had listened to because they actually came through in a big way. So I'll touch a little bit on that, and then I'll talk about the preview on week three. Week three of the platform players that's being spotlighted to see what to expect going forward this week with these players, because these guys are actually making things happen in the league. And the best part about it is not so much of what their performance is currently in the league. It just gives guys who's trying to get to the NFL, coming from small schools or was counted out at the school that they are currently in, whether it's a major Division I or someone in Division III or II, that it brings encouragement to see that these players came from the same situation, but making things happen in the NFL, not just getting there, but actually making an impact. But before I get into some highlights of last week and previewing this week, there's a couple of housekeeping things that I want to talk about in regards to, you know, in regards to one player in a certain situation with an HBCU school. But first, I'm going to start off with my man, Adam Thielen, who is an all-pro wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, made the Pro Bowl last year for the first time in his brief career, which I'm expecting him to actually make it more of an invitational because he's that good. He's that number one receiver in Minnesota. I know Stephon Diggs probably carries the bigger name, but Adam Thielen is the absolute best receiver on that team without question. This week, he launched his foundation called the Thielen Foundation. He and his wife, Kathleen, and their son, Asher. Well, the son had nothing to do with it, but, you know, the son is definitely still inspiration. But Adam and his wife opened up their foundation, the Thielen Foundation, and the mission is simple, just to help educate and inspire people to achieve their full potential. One of the things that Adam did was he donated $100,000 to a local hospital in the area with the behavioral health at the University of Minnesota, Mason Children's Hospital, so pediatrics. So he donated $100,000 to that hospital, and from there he's going to partner with the hospital to do some things to actually help children overcome trials and provide support in battling mental health challenges. So that's one of his missions there. And also, he held his first football camp, youth football camp, this year. It was a one-day event they actually had at the Vikings practice facility. I believe it looked like it was their older practice facility that the Vikings actually left for the public to be able to use and access for the community, for any type of event. And I believe he used that same field for that one-day practice. Had about 150 children there learning the basis of football, also with character development. So that was one of the things that he had there. It was a great turnout. It will be an annual event. Whether if it expands more than just one day, that part we don't know. But we know that he's focusing on trying to do right in the community. And just a little backtrack with Dylan, when he came through the NFL Regional Combine in 2014 through the Chicago workouts, he's a very humble dude. And from talking to him, and the last time I actually was able to talk to him, face-to-face was a couple years ago when he played in a Hall of Fame game. So he and I talked for a while in the locker room, and he talked about the things that he'd been working on. This is when he was actually just on the practice squad, really didn't have no playing time on the field. But he talked about how he worked on his routes and kept catching passes, running routes by himself, not necessarily having someone to throw him the ball, just getting the reputation down so that when at that period of time in his career, when he was just preparing himself to be ready, and he made himself ready, and when he made himself ready, when Minnesota needed him to step on the field, he pretty much never got off the field because he just showed how polished he is, showed that he's more than just a special team ace, where he did score two times on special teams off a block punt. For him to come out, show what he was able to do to really meet his potential and to help others get to their potential and not have to struggle the way he did, that's where his heart is at. So you never see this guy pound his chest about me, me, me. He's all about team. And so to see that he have his own foundation where his heart is at, expect him to play harder because he's definitely on the platform now where he can actually become a legend with that franchise, his hometown. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Like I said, you can always shoot me a message anytime directly by email, BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. On Twitter, Locker_Report, Instagram, LockReport100, and on Facebook at LockReport.com. So let's do that out there. Right now, I'm going to take a pause. Stay close. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in today. Can't say that too much. I hope everyone is ready to kick off week three of the NFL. Now, I'm jumping right into it. I did talk about Adam Thielen starting his foundation. Now, one little thing that really had nothing to do so much with the NFL, but it's definitely a great start for a program with Bethune Cookman. Just last night, it was announced that Nebraska, University of Nebraska, is going to have the program, Bethune Cookman, to come to their stadium on October the 22nd to be a makeup game that Nebraska had to cancel with Akron on September the 1st. Now, with the part that makes it a real big deal is that they're going to pay Cookman $800,000 for the team to come to their house to play them on that Thursday night on October 27th. This is a big deal for HBCU school to be able to play against a major powerhouse team, and then most importantly, to receive the type of funding, to receive the money that they're going to receive for that team to come and play them at their place. Now, right now, currently, Cookman is 1-2. They did lose to Florida Atlantic and Tennessee State, you know, but Cookman, catered in Florida, they actually played a lot of good teams. So they used to playing Miami, University of Florida Athletic, Florida International. They also played North Texas. Now, they lost those games, but the teams are very competitive. They have a lot of talent that's there, and they started to be recognized. As a matter of fact, according to the athletic director of Nebraska, Bill Moles, he said that when they canceled that team in Akron, they were trying to look for another team that they possibly could replace to make up for their schedule so they can actually have an opportunity to be bowl eligible, because they have to play a certain amount of games and they didn't want to move, lose that opportunity and missing a bowl game. So there were several teams that had a bye on October the 27th, but it was looking at Cookman because they do have experience playing on the road, playing a big time program. So to invite that team from where they are up to where they are, to where they're playing at, that means a lot. It's huge for the program. Nebraska can be able to have that 12th game. Hopefully, Cookman can go in there and do a surprise and probably mess up Nebraska's situation and try to get into a bowl game. Well, we never know what may happen. It is football. This is one of the reasons why I love the sport so much. Anything can happen. So this is a good move for the program. Congratulations to Bertrand Cookman and accepting this. As soon as they accepted it, Nebraska sent their waiver to NCAA. For that 12th game, it was approved, and so everything is locked, set in stone. So October 27th, Birmingham Cookman is going to go to Nebraska to play them, and they're going to receive a huge payday. So congratulations to that program, and hopefully this will turn something around for that program and also the set notice that these HBCU school programs can continuously play against these big-time powerhouses. They're doing it every year, so it's nothing new. But to get a good purse like that, like this, is awesome. Now, as far as the program itself, they had 32 players that actually suit up to play in the NFL game through their program. And pretty much their most recognized player that came from Bertram Cookman was Rashard Mathis, who was a defensive back for Jacksonville. Now, who got drafted in 2003, actually played in the league for a good period of time. So he's pretty much their biggest name now. Right now, currently, there's only one player in the NFL that graduated and came from Bethune-Cookman, and that's rookie Jarrell Davis. And Jarrell Davis came through the regional combine this year. So it's great to see that he was on that practice squad. He reminded me a lot of like a Tyreek Hill or Keem Hunt. He can really fly. Small guy, he actually put a little bit more pounds on, can catch special teams. It's just a matter of time for that young man to get on the field, and I believe he'll do great things in this league. Okay, now, for the part y'all guys been waiting for, the Week 2 breakdown. Week 2 was fantastic in the NFL. Like I said, Week 1 was heavy on the defense side, but in Week 2, it was pretty much all offense. And we're going to start with my man Keelan Cole, coming from Division II school, and I'm going to start with him right at the top. Cole, entering that game against the New England Patriots, he pretty much already had a record of scoring a touchdown in the past three games. So he was one of the guys I talked about last week. If you have him on your fantasy, you want to play him against New England, and he went out there and showed off, actually had seven catches for 116 yards. So he really got down on that field last week. But the biggest part was not so much of the seven catches and 116 yards receiving, which was a game high, but it was his one-handed catch that he made in that contest that looked a lot like Odell Beckham. Now, Monday morning, it was one of those situations early in the week. They were trying to figure out which person had the best one-handed catch. Now, Beckham pretty much set the standard with his catch 2015 when he played the Dallas Cowboys. And that one-handed catch falling back into the end zone was breathtaking. But at the same time, Keelan Cole had himself a fantastic catch too. Probably not as dramatic, and it wasn't a score, but it was definitely was the difficulty level was there, and for him to bring it down the way he did was awesome. It was 4:30 left remaining in the first quarter of the game. Jacksonville was facing a 1st and 15. They had a penalty, and they was actually on their own 24-yard line. So Blake Bortles actually took the ball from shotgun formation, threw deep down the left side of the field. And what Cole did, he was covered. He was really blanketed by Patriots cornerback Eric Rowe, how he was all over him. But Cole actually got his right hand in the air, literally snatched the ball out the air with one hand, cradled the ball, and took a couple of steps before he flipped out of bounds. That place in Jacksonville erupted. That building, that the TIAA Bank Stadium, exploded. His play exploded on Twitter. It exploded everywhere. And then to finish it off, they wind up going back to him 2 plays later where he actually caught a 20-yard touchdown pass on Eric Rowe again. Pretty much the same situation, deep down the left side of the field. So that play right there is a play of the ages, and it's already considered the catch of the year. So congratulations to Cole on a great workout that he had. I mean, game he had, and also that great catch that he had as well. Now, Adam Thielen, I know we just got finished talking about him as far as his foundation that he just started. Now, last week we all know about the way how the Vikings game ended in the tie against the Green Bay Packers at 29-29. But there was some situations in that game where it was clutch time, and Kirk Cousins realized that Dylan is their clutch receiver. And when they was trying to march the ball down the field, trying to at least get a touchdown to begin a situation to actually have a 2-point conversion, Dylan's name was called. With about 42 seconds left in the game, Kirk Cousins took the ball for a snap, threw the ball to the right side corner of the goal line in double coverage. Dylan was covered with two defenders draped on him. So what Dylan did was he caught the ball between both the defenders. The ball was perfectly thrown, but Dylan actually got the right spot to make sure he was right there to catch the ball, and at the same time would brace himself to actually fall, had an awareness to fall into the end zone for the score. That was a breathtaking play. Caught a 22-yard pass, and it was only 36 seconds left on the clock. That's when the Vikings wound up going for a two-point conversion, throwing the ball to Stephon Diggs to force the overtime. Now, unfortunately, Dylan cannot kick field goals, but he did put the Vikings in a situation where they had an opportunity to win that game. Dylan finished with 12 catches, which ties a career high that he had against the Green Bay Packers back in 2015. And he had 131 yards in that game and a touchdown. So he's definitely one of the top receivers in this league, in the top five in receiving yards right now, currently pretty much picking up from where he left off last year. So big ups to Adam Thielen still coming through. Now, the Oakland Raiders and Denver Broncos game, that was another game that was thrilling, went to the end. And in this game, Seth Roberts, who's a wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, for a period of time, I thought he was at least the best third receiver in the NFL. And he only caught one touchdown last year, which came against the Titans in week one. And he didn't get in an end zone last year after that. But he did have a career year in receptions and yards, despite not being targeted as much. So this year, they working him back into the system. Derek Carr recognizes and knows that he is a clutch player to go to. And in the third quarter, in a game where it was pretty much filled with field goals, Seth Roberts came through with the only touchdown for the Raiders and almost put them in a situation where they almost pulled away. So with 5 minutes, 31 seconds left in third quarter, on 2nd and 9 from the Broncos' 20-yard line, Derek Carr found Roberts going deep in the middle, passing two defenders, and drilled the ball right between the coverage like a needle, and Roberts had the concentration level where he was able to catch the ball in the middle part of the end zone and actually took the game to advanced the game into a lead of 19-10 when we thought it would be a situation where the Broncos probably were only the only way they would get into this game is with field goals. So the defense is playing very well on both sides of the ball. That was almost a backbreaker. But we're going to go right into the fourth quarter where another regional combine legend, pioneer, with Brandon McManus, who's the kicker, a Super Bowl winning kicker that actually helped got these guys back into the game because he did kick a late field goal. Now the Broncos was able to score a touchdown, but they still had to get a chance to get the ball down the field. And he did make an early field goal in the fourth quarter. The Broncos wound up getting the ball midway in the fourth quarter, scoring a touchdown. And so they were just down by two. And so the Broncos moved the ball down the field. Case Keenum did an excellent job of executing their two-minute offense, put Brandon McManus in a situation where he was able to kick a 36-yard game-winning field goal to win and edge out the Raiders 20-19. So that was a great game across the board. Solid play from those guys. And during the rundown, you had Jotavius Brown, who's outside linebacker for the Los Angeles Chargers. He actually had his sack and two tackles in that game. Also, you have Marvin Hall for the Atlanta Falcons, who only caught one pass, but it was a big pass for 30 yards right before the half with 40 seconds left that helped set the Falcons up for a late touchdown in that game. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Okay, that was week two. Now we're just going to wrap up this show with previewing week three. Now, week three looks like it's going to be pretty much a good mixture of some good defensive plays. My players is going to get the spotlight this weekend. And starting with the Chicago Bears and the Cardinals. And you can read this content at locker-report.com and how I get into more details about the players to watch out for. Not so much the game, but the players to watch out for. But the game to watch for the regional combine aspect is the Chicago Bears and Arizona Cardinals. Now, Roy Robinson-Harris, who's a defensive tackle for Chicago Bears, has been brilliant this offseason so far. Khalil Mack is really benefiting a lot with what Harris is able to bring when he's on the field, when he gets his time to come on there, because Harris applies a lot of pressure up the middle, take on a lot of double teams, and he nearly ended the Green Bay Packers season this year when he had hurt Aaron Rodgers briefly with his knee. But we all know the case. Aaron Rodgers came back, you know, Packers won, blah, blah, blah. But Harris is a huge component in that mix with that pressure, with that front seven that the Chicago Bears have. That is a talented team to watch out for, especially on the defense side of the ball. Now, across from him, it's another legend, another, I can say legend, but pioneer from the regional combine, Vincent Maiwa. Maiwa won a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks in 2013, bounced around the league with the Raiders, the Dallas Cowboys, and he signed a one-year deal with the Cardinals. Last week, he had a fantastic game. Seven tackles, and two of those tackles with two sacks that he had on Jared Goff. So although they got blown out by the Rams, Vincent was still in there, beating the drum, going hard every time he was on the field, and I'm expecting to see one of these two guys between Harris and Maiwa. I just posed the question in my title, who's going to get to the quarterback first? One of these guys is going to get to the quarterback first. And before the game is over, one of these two guys is going to make a play that's going to help their team win. So that's a matchup for your guys to watch out for the Chicago Bears and Arizona Cardinals game. Now, Brandon Copeland, who played last night against the Jets, he had a decent game last night. Unfortunately, his team was a losing end to the Browns. Congratulations to the Browns. You know, I don't drink beer, but I wanted I definitely wanted the Bud Light after that win. I was happy for the Browns and they pulled it out. But Copeland did have himself a decent game. Now, on to Baltimore. I like to say that this is going to be a kicking showdown. You have two of the best kickers in the league, Justin Tuck for the Baltimore Ravens and Brandon McManus, who's fresh off winning the game for the Broncos last week. This will be a highly contested defensive game. And I do not expect a lot of touchdowns in this game. I pretty much expect this game to be a grinding game. So the running game is going to be important. Executing third downs is going to be very important in this game. And most importantly, the kickers. This is going to be a very, very good game, and they're going to need their specialists to come through in this contest. Now, right now, McManus have more points scored than Justin Tuck. Both kickers had not missed a field goal or extra point all year. They're both of them clutch, both of them solid. McManus was very instrumental in the year when the Broncos won that Super Bowl, when he was pretty much their offense, when Peyton Manning really wasn't getting it done. This guy right here was getting it done with McManus on his leg. And so knowing that he had that in his repertoire and knowing that the country really don't see him as much, really don't know his capabilities and how clutch he really is, you will see it this weekend against a great matchup against Justin Tuck. I really believe that these kickers, when they get the opportunity, they're going to nail the field goal. And I do believe that this game may come down to a field goal winner. And if Brandon is actually in the situation, I believe that he'll pull it out for the Broncos. So that's a kicking matchup to watch out for. And then you have your normal suspects, Keelan Cole, fresh off the win from last week. He actually had a record of 100-plus yards, 3 out of his last 5 games. He's established himself in Jacksonville as their number one wide receiver. So watch out for that. In his last 3 divisional matchups, Coles had 268 receiving yards, averaging 89.3 yards a game and 2 touchdowns. I expect this streak to continue. Adam Thielen has been dominant in his last four home games, when he actually totaled 316 receiving yards, averaging 79 yards per game and a touchdown. Yeah, he lit up the Packers last week. I believe that he'll duplicate the same thing this weekend. When he played. And then you have, I definitely expect Seth Roberts, wide receiver for the Raiders, to continue with this. Then I think his confidence level is much higher. I think you will see him visit the end zone one more time this week, or at least be close to it. He definitely will be effective in this game, so I'm looking forward to that. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, and be sure to continue to watch this network. We're growing. We have another shows coming to the network. Dr. Larry is going to come on Wednesdays this week on the air show. If you're into, politics and things like that, this is a man you definitely want to hear his credentials, writing for the New York Times or Washington Times. He's definitely legit, so make sure you be tuned to listen to him. And all of the shows, the Donaldson Files, everyone on this network is really growing, and this network growing. It's an honor to be a part of it. Be sure to tune into next week, where I will talk about week 3, how that went, also previewing week 4. And I may have a couple other goodies I may talk about. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. Please shoot your message during the course of the week at Locker at Barry Barnes at LockerReport.com. Instagram, LockReport100. Twitter, Lock_Report. And on Facebook, LockReport.com. Everyone stay blessed. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Good morning to all, and welcome to another From a Christian Perspective Truth and Life Ministry broadcast. God is good, and He is so worthy to be praised. I know many of us have come through the storm that was called Florence, and so many are looking at the troubles that came, and many are thankful for how God preserved them through the storm, as I am. God is so good, and He is worthy to be praised. And sometimes we come through the storm, and we're thankful, but we do not learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. So I want to speak a little bit today about the goodness of God. I want to talk a little bit about the purposes of God and the plans of God, I want to talk a little bit about the ways of God, because we don't seem to understand sometimes how God moves and how God works. In this day and hour that we're living in right now, where we're seeing so much going on in the land, and it seems as if God was missing in action, and he was not showing up, and he was not showing his hand, and it seems as if the wicked were having their way, and we were all at their mercy. But as I have said time and time again, and as the Bible reveals to us, God is always in control. And we must remember that. And I know that the children of God know that God is in control, but sometimes it doesn't look like it. And even the children of God can become discouraged. I know, because I've been there myself. And sometimes you wonder, God, why do the wicked seem to prosper? And why do they seem to be so strong? And why do we seem to be at their mercy? But you know, God always has an answer. And that's why it's so important for us to find comfort in the Word of God, because he explains to us, he reveals to us his purposes and his plans, and he comforts our hearts in times of trouble. And so I want to speak briefly out of the book of Psalms. As I was reading this morning, I found comfort there, and I saw the purposes and the plans of God, and I saw God move in these scriptures as he was beginning to deal with his people. And it comes through the book of Psalms, where God is revealing himself through the words of David. And I want to speak out of two Psalms, which is in the Old Testament. I'm going to be speaking briefly out of Psalms 37 and Psalm 73. Why? Well, you know, sometimes we wonder why we have to hear so much preaching, and why should we go to church, and what is the purpose of it all? Well, the purpose of it is that God wants to reveal himself to us. And sometimes we just don't understand God. We don't understand what he's doing. And sometimes we wonder, is there really a God, because we cannot see him. But God wants us to understand him. He wants us to understand his ways. And that's the reason why he's given us his word. And that's the reason why he's given us ministers to minister through his word, to help us to understand him. Because if we begin to understand him, then we will know how to obey him and to serve him. And we are to have a fear of God. And I don't mean a fear like in being fearful of someone hurting you, or fearful of someone that is wicked or evil, that has evil intentions in mind. No, that's not the type of fear that God wants us to have of him. He wants us to have a godly fear of him, because he is an omniscient God, an omnipotent God. He's an all-powerful God, all-knowing God, and he is worthy to be praised. He's God, and he wants us to give him the praise and the glory for who he is and for what he has done. And so we are to have a reverence for God. And so as we look into the book of Psalms 37, it starts out saying at verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, or they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." There's so much comfort in that, and as you go on to read through that entire psalm, it talks about how God is comforting those that are righteous, those that are trying to serve him, those that are trying to live right, and he is telling them to not be worried, not to be fearful, but to put your trust in the Lord, and he always wants his saints to trust in him. But he goes on to tell us about the things that are going on in the world, and how we should deal with that, how we should think about that. And it says in verse 12, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth." But verse 13 says, "The Lord shall laugh at him." Well, he seeth that his day is coming. You know, there are times when it seems like the rich and the wicked and the oppressors are doing so well in the land, and it seems as if they're never going to see their day. But God says in this 37th Psalm, he tells us in verse 7 to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. And he's telling us in verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him. Well, he sees that his day is coming. And it seems like sometimes we go on and we go on and we go on and we cry and we mourn and we complain and we worship God. And it seems like as if God is never going to do anything about the wicked that is in the land. And we wonder sometimes, Lord, how long? And we have reason to wonder how long. Because it seems like it goes on and on and on. And it seems as if it's never going to end. But there is comfort in the Word of God. Even as I read in the 37th Psalm about God comforting the hearts of the righteous and telling them to fret not, to trust in the Lord and commit thy way unto the Lord. And he says in verse 7, rest in the Lord. So he's telling us the position that the righteous should have in the day when the wicked seem to be reigning. But as I went on and I looked at Psalm 7 and 3, I saw the solution as well. And there's comfort also in Psalm 7 and 3. And it says in verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. So then God is telling us the position that we who are waiting on him should have. We should have a clean heart. We should be trusting in him. We should be waiting on him. We should be resting in him. Why? Because in good time, God is going to take care of it. And so as we go on into verse 3, it says, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, we that live in America are looking so many times for wealth. We want to be blessed. We see our neighbor on our left and on our right are blessed, and they seem to have so much, and it seems like life is so easy for them. And we see them ride down the road in the nicest cars, and they seem to have such easy jobs, and they seem to be happy, and they seem to be doing well. But we don't know a lot of times what's going on inside of those homes. And it says here, as we're reading again in Psalms, that I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, this verse seems to imply here that the wicked can be very prosperous. And sometimes we that are serving the Lord, it seems like as if we cannot get what God has promised us, because God has said that if we will serve him, that we will be blessed. And he said that we will have plenty. But sometimes it seems like it's so long coming. And you know, there are people that serve God and that trust in God, and over a period of time, it seems like their blessing hasn't come. And sometimes they began to fall into temptation, the temptation of the devil, where he says, basically, well, if you'll serve me, I will bless you. And some people fall into that temptation, and then they began to move from the place of rest. They began to move from the place of trust, and they began to move into a place where they want to have the same thing that they see everybody else seemingly have, and they don't want to wait on God anymore. But you know, it's important for us in this day and hour to see what God is doing in the land. And you know, sometimes it seems as if the wicked are prospering, and it seems as if it's never going to end. But we have to observe the times. And those of us that have been young and now are older, we've seen times come and we've seen times go. We've seen the good times and the bad times. We've seen the results of wickedness and we've seen the results of goodness. And sometimes we may forget or we overlook what God is doing in the land. But you know, God said in the 37th Psalm, he basically said in the 13th verse that the Lord shall laugh at them, for he seeth that his day is coming. So we have to hold on to what God is saying, even though it seems like it's taking forever. God has a day and God has a time when he is going to deal with wickedness and evil in the land. And he has a day and he has a time that he's going to bless his people. And God wants us to wait on him. And he wants us to rest in him and to find our comfort in the Lord, because he is God and he is going to take care of it. So as we go on into chapter 7 and 3 of Psalm, and we're talking about the prosperity of the wicked, we see that God has a different frame of mind in this particular Psalm. It says, as we look at the wicked, it says that it seems in verse 5 that they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued as other men, and therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. And so it seems as if those that are wicked, you know, they seem to have everything that they want. They don't seem to have any problems. Nobody seems to be after them, trying to correct them or trying to bring their evil to the forefront. It seems like they are the ones that are at rest. And it says because of that, in verse 6, that their pride encompasses so said in this word, that pride comes before a fall. So then that's something else that we can look at, and we can see that when the wicked are prideful, that their fall is coming. It says in verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. And, you know, when I look at that, I'm thinking about Lazarus, the story of Lazarus in the New Testament. The rich man had it all, and Lazarus didn't have anything. He was poor. So the rich man was the wicked, and Lazarus was the righteous, and he didn't have anything. But when they died, the Bible tells us that the rich man looked up and from hell, and he saw Lazarus, bosom of Abraham. And that's when he wished that that God would send Lazarus to warn his brethren about not coming into this fiery hell that he was in. And God was saying to the rich man that in your life you had plenty and Lazarus had nothing, but now you are burning in hell and Lazarus is comforted. So there is a time of justice, and we all need to know that while we live, because when we are in eternity and in damnation, there's no time. We have no more opportunity to be saved out of that wicked frame of mind. And it goes on in verse 8, it says, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. And so here we're seeing that the rich that seem to have everything are oppressing the poor. And not only are they oppressing the poor, but it says they speak loftily. You know, it's talking about the pride. It says in verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And it goes on in verse 11, it says, and they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? So they not only have they wealth and riches, not only are they oppressing the poor, but then they dare to say, does God even know? But God does know. And it says in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So there is a time, it seems, where the wicked are prospering and they are getting all that they want, and they seem to be enjoying it, and it seems that nobody can do anything about it. But God told us in Psalms 37, it says that he laughs at them because he knows that their day is coming. So there is a time, we must always remember, there's a time when God's going to correct it. And so David, in the psalm, the writer says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And so here the writer is basically beginning to wonder, has he spent all his time serving God in vain? Did he live in truth in vain? Did he wash his hands in vain? Did he live a righteous life in vain? And sometimes it seems that way. Sometimes we wonder, as we're trying to serve God, is it all in vain? And there's a wonderful song that goes, basically, is by living in vain. I know many of us have heard that. But again, we must remember God said in chapter 37, it says in verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, talking about the wicked, for he seeth that his day is coming. So God is saying, let's look again at Psalm 37 and verse 16, and let's look at God's opinion of these two people, of the wicked and the righteous. It says in verse 16, that a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. So it means that God is looking at what's going on in the earth. He sees the righteous and he sees the wicked. And he knows that the judgment is going to come for both for the righteous and for the wicked. And it really depends on how we conduct ourselves. Will the righteous stay righteous, or will they try to follow and pursue the ways of the wicked? God is watching that as well, and he's encouraging us through Psalm 37 to wait on the Lord, to rest in him, to trust in him. And he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring our righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. So that's a judgment. And I'm not talking about evil coming. I'm saying that God's going to judge their righteousness, and God is going to bless them based on their living right. But God's also going to judge the wicked based on their living wrong. But I like what it says in Psalms 73 again. It says that when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God and then understood I therein. So there is an end for the righteous that we read about in the Word, and there's an end that we see for the wicked, and we read about it in the Word. And it says in verse 18 of Psalm 73, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. So here we're seeing the day of the wicked coming to pass. And it says God set them in slippery places, and he is the one that casts them down to destruction. So many times when we feel like we want to fight against the wicked because of what they're doing to us and even what they're doing in the land. But we see here that it said, as it said in Psalms 37, God told his people to fret not against evildoers. And he told his people to trust in him. And he told his people to delight themselves in him. And he told his people to commit their ways unto him. And he told his people to rest in the Lord. But it tells us here in Psalms 37 that it is God who will cast them down into destruction. And it says in verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. So God is the one who will bring down the wicked in due time. And he is basically telling us, the people of God, to wait on him, to trust in him, to rest in him. Because there is going to come a day and a time when God is going to judge not only the wicked, he's going to judge us all. And he told us also that judgment will begin in the house of God. So God judges his people first. And he does judge his people first because he don't want them to be judged with the world. And so many of us have looked at, we've looked upon the things that are going on in the land, and we see that your church has been judged in a lot of ways. And we see so many things go on in the church, and we see God reveal sin in the church. And we see that even today, that the world does not even want to obey or follow or believe the church anymore because they have seen such wickedness in the church. Why? Because God judged the church, and their sins were revealed. But not only did God judge the wicked in the church, he judged the righteous too. Because when judgment falls, he blesses those that are his children that have walked in obedience, because he told us in Psalms 37, he told us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. And he told us in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So there is a judgment that God brings to the righteous. He blesses the righteous that waited on him. But there is also a judgment for the wicked where he brings them down into time. And he says that they are cast down into destruction. And it's important for us to know that while they lived like the rich man, they were prideful and enjoyed all their wealth and all of their benefits and their prosperity. But there comes a day when God does judge not only the righteous, but he judged the wicked as well. And they are all going to be given their reward based on how they have obeyed the word of God. So it's important for us to know here, at all times, our trust is to be in the Lord. But I wanted to talk on this particular subject because I want us to look at that today. I want us to look at the times in which we're living, and I want us to not miss the lesson of what God is doing in the land today. Even as we have seen a storm go through the East Coast, and we've seen trouble come, and I know some of us were in terror and fear, and some of us were praying and trusting and believing God through it. And we saw sometimes that the storm caused some to have problems, and some of us were in rest. And it's not to say that because some of us had problems that they were wicked or evil or sinful, because the Bible says that God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. We don't always understand what God is doing at the time, but he knows what he's doing, so we can't always judge by what happened. But the thing is that God is doing something in the land right now. And those of us that are wise and have our eyes on God, we see that God is correcting some things today. And we see that God is cleansing the land. And we see that even as we look at those that seem to be in the high places of the land today, correction is coming and judgment is coming. And if we see God is judging the world today, what does that tell us about the church? It means that he's already brought correction at his church. And we have seen God reveal evil, and we've seen God pull down sin. It doesn't mean that he's finished, but correction is coming in the land today. And God is revealing to us. He is making a separation. He's showing us the difference between the good and the evil. And we need to not miss that lesson, because some of us that may be young may not understand the ways of God, but things are being brought to such a head right here in this nation of America so that we can see the difference between good and evil. And some of those that are reporting that those that are in the high places, in high positions, are the good and that they're doing good, watch closely and see what is God revealing. And God said to us in the Word of God that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be condemned. So then sometimes when we don't judge ourselves, and I mean really basically it's not judging ourselves as much as it is examining ourselves, examining our lives to see if we're living according to the Word of the Lord, to see if we're living right. And we need to do that from time to time. And we know that even at a time of communion, we're told to examine ourselves. But we saw in this lesson today that the rich are not examining themselves. They're enjoying their riches and their pride and their wealth and their prosperity. And then they're not taking pity on the poor, but they are oppressing the poor and causing them to cry out to God. And because they cry out to God, God does eventually bring deliverance. Or if you would look at Psalm 72 and verse 12, it says, well, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that has no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. So God comes, as in verse 14 it says, he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood to be in his sight. So God does hear the poor. God does hear the needy. God does hear those that seem to have no help. And he does come to deliver them. He comes to deliver them from the prideful. He comes to deliver them from the wealthy that oppress them. And he comes to judge the wicked in the land, that those that cry unto him may be delivered. So God does come, and he does bring judgment in the land, and he does cleanse the earth. And not only does he bring it one time, but he will bring it from time to time because of the cries of his people. And that's the reason why it's so important that God's people pray. But God hears the prayers of the righteous, and he does come to answer and to deliver. And so it's good for all of us to remember that, and it's always good for the people of God to remember that God is going to fix it in due time. So I pray that you are comforted through some of the things that we've spoken about today. And if you're still in the midst, and it seems like as if you're still in the fire and trouble is all around you, then you need to find comfort in Psalms 37, and you need to see the deliverance that God promises to bring and that he does bring, as is shown in Psalm 73. I pray that you are encouraged today. I pray that you're still walking with the Lord. I pray that you're still walking by faith and that you're trusting in God. And I pray that you continue to have hope, because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going to work it all out in good time. But it's important that we hold on to the hand of the Lord and that we do not give up, do not give in. Don't compromise. Don't try to envy the wicked. Don't try to be like them, but try continually to be like the Lord, and he will bring you out in due time. Read the word of the Lord. Be encouraged through the word of the Lord and see that he is in charge and he is in control, and he will bring you out in good time. I want to speak briefly on a scripture that I read in the very beginning of my study today, and it was in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, and I want to end there. And it says, basically, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So then God is letting us know that there's going to come a time when he's going to bring us out. He's going to bring us out of the miry clay, and he's going to bring us out to perfection, be established, to be strengthened, and he's going to settle us. So we need to know that God is going to bless his people, and God is going to comfort his people, and God is going to reward heart is people if we hold on until the end. And there is so much more that we can study and speak about this particular subject, but I hope that you got something that will strengthen and encourage you through this word today, and I pray that you will continue to have faith in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be blessed today. Continue to walk with the Lord. Thank you for listening again to Prophetess Joyce King from A Christian Perspective, Truth and Life Ministries over the Bachelor Path Network. God bless.